Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Down a Fulham road, we're burning with ambition. The first division is where we want to be. And if you've seen what a team we've got this season, you know the reason, we'll get there easily. But first we're heading down a Wembley way to show the world that we can really play. Oh, this year we're gonna win the cup.
Evening all, the Fulham Fan Show, George Riley alongside Dom Betch for the next hour or so, looking through the season and the last week and ahead, of course, to the weekend as well. It's all Fulham to do. Get in touch. Love Sport Radio, 0208 7020 558. Send us a WhatsApp, we'll give you a bell, we'll get you on the radio if you so desire. You can get in touch on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram as well. It's at Love Sport Radio, and we're talking Fulham between now and 10 o'clock tonight. A reminder, the other two games ongoing right now as we talk the way through. Manchester City leading by 2-0, 50 minutes left in the Premier League against West Ham, and no goals at half time, as you heard in the news of that Tottenham game. Tottenham 0, RB Leipzig 0. So then, games, Dom, with Millwall and Barnsley to pick apart over the next hour, or however long you need to pick those apart.
Yeah, I reckon we'll start with the three word reviews from both games. Perhaps starting off Mill, we took these off Twitter. There's quite a few good puns in here. I think it was fairly easy with Mill. So you had Dan McGrath with two Lions offside for obviously Bodvarsson's supposed allowed goal. You had Matt Walls with top two denied, and Matthew Chantry's the Lino's Den. Looking ahead to Barnsley from Instagram, we had so barnstormingly Fulhamish from Lee D. Robbins, Rodaculous performance from RGW Teed, and Woodrow Believe It from Alistair Nimmo, because obviously former Fulham striker Cordy Woodrow grabbing the two of them. If we start with the Mill game, obviously we haven't done a show since then. Started off great, got that Mitrovic goal after 2 minutes or whatever it was, and we thought, okay, now we can sort of go on from this, and you know, if we won that game, we obviously would have gone into the top two because, you know, on that Tuesday night, you had teams dropping points left, right and centre. You had Nottingham Forest losing to Charlton. You had Brentford and Leeds drawing at Griffin Park. And, you know, it really was an opportunity to sort of seize the moment. It didn't happen. It ended up being a draw. There was obviously the controversial goal from Bodvarsson. And on that note, my problem with that is, obviously, I can understand the referee's decision there because you got Onuma and Tom Bradshaw sort of both going for the same ball. And but I think the liner should just flag for the two players being offside, and then if the referee, and obviously they'll hit it in straight away, and then the referee can supposedly blow up for offside, and then he can liaise with his assistant and work out who touched the ball, because the players are in an offside position. I know it's about whether he's touched the ball or not, but I think then they can make that decision once the ball's hit the back of it, kind of VAR but without the VAR there.
Yeah, so the linesman helping out the referee a little bit more than he did, perhaps.
Yeah, I think if he just explains they're in an offside position, and maybe if the referee believes Onuma has hit the ball, then fair enough. Because I think, you know, the slow-mos and the screenshots make it look so obvious, but I think when watching it in real time, it is quite hard to tell who's flicked that ball on, because, you know, the way both sort of players went for the ball, easy any of them could have touched it. So I think people are giving the officials quite a lot of slack there, but I think what the liner could have done is sort of helped out his referee a lot more just by telling him that both players were in an offside position. But then obviously after that, Joe Bryan gave away a silly penalty. I mean, Joe Bryan giving away silly anything shouldn't be a surprise to most Fulham fans this season. He's great going forward. I think he and Mitrovic, I think he set up 7 goals for him this season. But yeah, when it comes to being a defender, he's not the greatest. But it ended up being a draw after they missed that penalty from Jeb Wallace. Not much happened in the second half. I remember Josh Onuma sort of bursting forward and Mitrovic being absolutely fuming with him for not cutting it back, and he blazed it over the bar. Then there was Niskin Scabano, of all players, coming on off the bench and heading it onto the bar from the near post from a corner. But that was about it. It was a fairly turgid affair. And yes, the goal was offside. But, you know, if we won that game, it would have been pretty unfair because, you know, especially in the latter parts of that first half, Mill were definitely the better team.
So a missed opportunity or one way... Oh, I'm glad to get that one out of the way.
I do think it's a missed opportunity because going into the game, it was one of those games where you take a point going into the game if you're off for like a... You know, you could lose this game, but when you look at the results from the evening before, and you know how we haven't actually been into the top two this season, and how West Brom and Leeds have basically let everyone else back into it, it was an opportunity which we really should have seized. But I don't think the result was the worst, was the end of the world, especially if we're looking at Saturday's result against Barnsley.
We will do it in just a couple of minutes. But when, how wary are you of the other teams around you? And you quite rightly said, well, they've let us back in. But when you get let back in, you get greedy. You think, hang on a minute, we're in this. So you want to you want to be pushing. You want to be top two. You want to be picking up more than a point there.
Yeah, I think the best thing for us is, you know, we've got 1 point of our last two games and we're still somehow sitting in third and only 3 points off second place. And I think we've been lucky this season because results most time have gone our way this season. I think, you know, Saturday was the first time in a while where the results are pretty much going against us. And I think that it's time now. You know, you're into February, the end of February now. This is when you've really got to take your opportunity. You know, when this was in the season we went up in 17-18, we were probably on, what, 8 or 10, 9 game unbeaten run by now. And I think that, you know, if you look at the teams this season, has anyone really been that convincing? I look at West Brom and Leeds and I feel like they've been the least two inconsistent teams, if that makes sense. Like, everyone's been inconsistent, but those two known by their point
Well, Leeds
margins.
Always have the wobble. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah, I feel like it's been... I'm worried about Leeds. I feel like they've had their wobble too early for the rest of the side, whereas they had their wobble...
It's normally a bit later on, and then that's curtains.
Yeah, whereas they've got plenty of time to sort of get back up to where they want to be.
That controversy that you outlined so well, Scott Parker, I think just when he was asked about it, said it is what it is. Now, when a manager says it is what it is, that means to me, well, that was awful. I completely disagree, but I'm not allowed to say anything.
Yeah, basically, you can tell he's absolutely fuming by how he's talking to the fourth short of time. Like, everyone in the weighing could tell, you know, he was 2 yards offside. It's just one of those things that happens, but I said this at the time, and I still stand by it now. I'd still rather something like that happen than have VAR in the Championship.
Yeah.
Because, yes, it might get that decision right, but then there's 5 other decisions in the last month or so which would cause you absolute infuriation. So, yes, it's annoying that the wrong decision happened here, but, you know, that's just human error, really. And I think if you're looking on the balance of play, it was a fair result. So it's not something you can be like, oh, you know, we've been robbed here. We weren't robbed. You know?
Yeah.
Millwall were probably lucky, you know, obviously missing the penalty that they didn't win the game.
Parker said his players weren't able to put their mark on the game, to stamp their authority on the game. Why do you think that was?
I don't think we've really done that in many games at all this season, if I'm being perfectly honest. I think if you're looking at whenever we played to our best, you're only looking at maybe a handful of games here. I'm thinking there was that Mill at home game where, you know, we had best possession stats, best passing stats since records begun, 1-4-0. There was a win away at Reading early on the season when we looked very comfortable. I'm looking at the win over Derby. But even then, you know, when we beat Leeds at home, we weren't the better side probably in that game. We just took our chances, and I think that's been the story of Fulham this season, is that we haven't been creating loads of chances each game. We actually just create the chances that we do, and we're fairly clinical from them, because when you've got someone like Alexander Mitrovic up top, you often do that. And I think, you know, we haven't won a game by more than a goals margin since November, I think. So that's the biggest problem for us, is we sort of expect to, where we'll create 2 or 3 chances, we'll take one of them, and then we'll hold on to that lead. Because basically how it works when it's come to Fulham games this season is we don't lose when we take the lead, and we don't seem to win when we go behind.
So if that was just one of them games, the Millwall-Barnsley, the Millwall won a piece with Fulham-Barnsley, what on earth was that? Is that as bad as it's been?
But as bad as it's been this season. That was on par with some of last season's performances in the Premier League. It was one of those games where you know you can tell after 5-10 minutes that it's going to be a bad day at the office. And you could tell, I mean, just if you look at the first goal, Matt Rodak, who's been in sensational form ever since he's come into the side for Marcus Bettinelli, you know, he drops the ball and cleans out the Barnsley player, and then Corley Woodrow steps and puts away the penalty. I mean, if I was a gambling man, I would have said, you know, a fairly obvious outcome would be Corley Woodrow anytime goal scorer on his first game back to Craven Cottage, and obviously ended up getting two. So yeah, it was after that, and we were like, okay, we're 1-0 down, you know, maybe we'll grow into the game now, it'll make them switch on. But the reverse sort of happened, you know, it got worse, and Barnsley grew into the game even more, and they grew confident knowing that when they attacked, they were going to cause us problems. And I think if looking into the second half, whenever they went forward, it's like you were worried they were going to score. I mean, you know, I know the game finished 3-0, but it easily could have finished double.
And that's frightening as a fan, especially when your team is up there giving you hope, pushing for promotion. You think, blimey, we are all over the place here.
Especially when you're playing a team who's bottom of the league. Yeah. It's just like everyone in the pub after the game was, well, what's just happened there then? You know, we haven't been playing amazing, but we didn't see that kind of performance being turned out. And I'm looking all over the park, and on the Fulhamish website, we sort of do player ratings, which people can vote on. I think the highest rating was about 3.5, maybe. It was that bad, and it was definitely the worst performance of the season, reminiscent of a lot of games last season. Yeah, it was...
Where did it come from that then?
I think... It was a performance like that. You could argue was maybe coming because we hadn't been, you know, playing well in the last, you know, month or two. We've been sort of grinding out results, and you know, you could tell one of those performances were coming. But I think one of the stats which I saw on Twitter on Monday, which was sort of pointed out how inconsistent we've been this season, is a quarter of the goals we've conceded have been to the bottom two sides in the league. You know, Barnsley have put 4 passes this season across 2 games. Luton have put 5. It's crazy, and Michael Hector has come into defence and he has shored it up a bit. You know, I think we've kept 4 or 5 clean sheets since the new year, but yeah, it's getting to the point now where Fulham rely on creating that one chance, taking that chance and holding on to that lead. I think the only time we've come from behind to win a game this season was when we were at home to QPR. And, you know, if you are going to go up automatically, I think, you know, you need to find any resort to win, really.
He didn't hold back, did he, the manager, after that defeat? He said he was shocked, bitterly disappointed. I'm gutted. I didn't see it coming. And he apologised, said sorry, didn't he, to the fans. He said the fans who came, I didn't see it coming either. Although you said perhaps you did see something like that coming. I can only apologise because it just wasn't what we've come to expect. So, I mean, how do you get over that then, if something like that happens?
Yeah, it was actually quite annoying because obviously there's been so many games this month that this wasn't one of the weeks of a midweek game.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's kind of a game where you just want to play again.
Straight away, let's get back out.
But it happens to be the one week in recent weeks we haven't had a midweek game. But obviously we're playing at the earliest opportunity possible with the Friday night game against Derby. But obviously that won't be easy with them having one of the best home records in the league, which we'll touch on later. I think, how do we bounce back from this? I think Scott Parker has to have grilled the side. Absolutely battered them in the dressing room, because they need to understand that this kind of performance isn't acceptable. I think that the biggest problem for us really has been we need to understand and get some fluidity into the side. I just don't feel like how going through the phases is, you know, playing through the positions. We're not doing that. It's sort of they're quite, you know, we've got our defence, we've got our midfield, we've got our attack. I don't see the link between them all. And, you know, sometimes it works brilliantly because other teams sort of play into our hands. I think the first, when we were 3-0 up at home to Huddersfield, you know, some of those goals are absolutely sublime. But I feel like we're functional, but we're not effective at the moment.
If Fulham don't go up, you're going to look back at this week as being quite a costly one.
I think so. I think if we don't end up getting up this season, you could look back at this week. Obviously, we don't know what results are to come, but you could look back at this week as the one that maybe cost it.
Is it a week that sort of dents your hope, or where are your hope levels in the first place, given, you like you said, well, the top two has led us in here, we haven't really fought for this opportunity?
Yeah, I don't think you can really say, as people love to say in football, Fulham have bottled automatic promotion, because we were never in the automatic promotion places. I just think it's where we just didn't take an opportunity. You know, we got 6 points this week, you know, Leeds only got 4, Brentford got 4, Forest got 1, you know, so it's one of those weeks where we should have taken the opportunity. You know, Millwall away, Barnsley at home, you're expecting a minimum of 4, not 1. Like, and 4 would be the absolute minimum out of those. So it could be a costly week, but obviously there's still, what, a third of the season odd left to go. We've still got, it could be a good or a bad thing. We've got to play 6 of the top 7 before now and the end of the season. It could be a good thing if Fulham can get into a run of form and actually take points off the teams around them.
It's the Fulham Fan Show, Fulhamish. George Riley with you. Don Betts is the voice that you are hearing, passionately waxing lyrical. If you want to get in touch, we'd love to hear from you. 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. It's at Love Sport Radio. You can go via our website as well. We're going to look ahead to the big game that Dom outlined, the next game, Fulham and Derby, with a couple of guests in due course. It's 16 minutes past nine. This is Love Sport.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Love Sport. Yeah, the Fulham Fan Show, George Riley, Tom Betts with you. Quick check on the other two games tonight. Ongoing Manchester City closing in on victory in the Premier League against West Ham United into injury time. 4 minutes added on at Manchester City, and it's 2-0. So they're going to get 3 points there. And a goal in the Champions League. Tottenham have fallen behind on the hour, just prior to the hour, against Leipzig. A penalty given away by Ben Davis, bringing down Konrad Lehmer. Yellow card for Davis, and Timo Werner put the spot kick into the bottom corner. Hugo Lloris went the right way, but it just was too good, too strong, too powerful, and passed him. Leipzig's first ever Champions League goal, and Tottenham behind. Spurs 0, Leipzig 0. It is the Fulham Fan Show. Next up for Fulham after not the greatest week in their season, a draw and a defeat. It's Fulham versus Derby County. Let's speak to the former Fulham and Derby striker, Paul Pesci-Salido. Hi, Paul.
Hi, how you doing?
Great, thank you. Thanks for coming on. What have you made of, first of all, the Fulham season so far?
Well, I think it's been a very good season. I know everybody's down in the dumps, including myself, after the dreadful result against Barnsley on the weekend. But, you know, to be third in the table, they've shown the consistency you need to get themselves challenging for that promotion spot. And it's not over yet. And hopefully they can vie for that, more likely the second spot. If not, go up from the playoffs.
Looking at the reaction from the fans after that Barnsley game, a lot of people were sort of pointing a finger at Scott Parker and the tactics that were on display, obviously, on the weekend. What have you made of Scott Parker? Do you think he's getting enough out of the players that he's got so far, or do you think he could be doing slightly better?
I think he's done a great job. You know, a lot of people had doubts because he's new in the job, but what Scott has is a knowledge for the game. He's played at the highest level. He's very, very popular at the football club, even amongst the players, which is very important. He's got that captain mentality, which usually follows up with good managerial skills. So I think he's done a great job. You know, Championship is such a difficult league. Everyone thinks that, you know, you have a Premiership squad that's just come down, or you spend loads of money on players and you're automatically going to go up. It never happens that way. It's a matter of turning up every week, being organized, which they have been to a certain degree, and you know, just trying to win more games than you lose. And he's done a great job. I don't see why people are complaining.
Do you think, you know, looking at Scott Parker, and obviously it's a very different style of play to what we had under Slavisa Jokanovic in 17-18 when we won the playoffs that year. Do you think people are sort of expecting something too similar to that, and they actually don't understand the different style of play you've been deploying this season?
Absolutely. I think you've hit the nail on the head. It was exciting, the way his team played and the way they went up in style. I can see why people make those comparisons, but he doesn't have the same players at his disposal, and there's more than one way to skin a cat, as we say. And, you know, he's got a hard-working team. He gets goals from Mitrovic when he's playing. So, you know, I think he's got all the right elements. He just, perhaps that's what it is. People are expecting this expansive attacking football, but you know, he doesn't have those same players to his disposal.
Do you think that a lot of that sort of lies on the fullbacks? Obviously, I know Joe Bryan's had the amount of assists he can, but, you know, with Fredericks in target, we had two completely different types of fullbacks to, you know, Joe Bryan and whatever the other side is, the likes of Adoy or Christie or sometimes Steven Sessegnon. Do you think because the fullbacks are so different, that's what's stopping us playing a similar style of football?
Absolutely, absolutely. You lost a lot of pace and attacking threat with those two players. Going forward, they were phenomenal. So when you've got that, the modern game, if you want to play an expansive football and you want to play a football that's attacking, then you need fullbacks to play that way. And at the minute, the two players that we use are not those type of players. So they're a little bit, they have to be a little bit more solid. And his style of play is perhaps suffered to a certain degree because of it.
Looking at Mitrovic, obviously 21 goals, league's top goal scorer. You know, people say we are too overly reliant on him. Do you think that sort of responsibility, though, is something that Mitrovic sort of loves to have, that he is the main man and the club do rely on him so much?
You can see that. You can see the way he plays. You know, he didn't have a good time at Newcastle. He's gone to Fulham, and he has been superb. And you can see he thrives on that attention. He loves that focus. But how can you say that, you know, you're so reliant? You got a great player. You're going to use him as much as you possibly can. He runs the channels. He holds the ball up. The key will keeping hold of him, because he's, you know, he's made a lot of people stand up and watch him this season. He's been superb. So reliant, of course you're reliant. When you've got such a great player and scoring goals, then why not rely?
A lot of people have been speaking about Tom Cairney over previous weeks that, you know, he hasn't been at his best. He doesn't look fit. You know, people, you know, even in times, ever since he's really taken over the captaincy, saying, is he really the captain in the squad, or is he just the one that wears the armband? What do you think's gone wrong? Do you think it might just be a fitness issue? Because obviously he's had so many injury problems, he's never really going to be going 100% fit into, you know, when you're playing seven games in, what, 29 days, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's been stop-start, and it's very hard to get momentum. And, you know, your confidence suffers as well as your fitness. So, yeah, it's not been a great season for him. And, you know, he's still relatively young. I don't know what to say. I generally think perhaps it's been the injuries and not getting that, you know, the time that he's had in the past.
So, obviously, Hector's coming in January. He's shored things a lot up at the back, and having him and Rodak obviously at the back, you know, it's been a much improvement on what we had going into the season. Do you how big of an influence is that, being an attacking player, knowing that you can sort of do your thing and knowing what you don't need to worry about the defense, you know, being conceding that many goals? So I think we've had four or five clean sheets since January came, and obviously Hector came into the side.
I think, you know, okay, you can say that. By all means, he's done a good job. But I think, again, you criticise Scott, perhaps the style of football going forward. But defensively, they're a unit. And, you know, they're all defending as a team. And that's why you're not conceding goals. But, yeah, the addition of Rory, the addition of Vector has been good. There's been so many injuries at the back, though, which hasn't helped Fulham in recent years. But, yeah, I just think they're far more solid as a unit this season, and perhaps that's why you're not seeing that attacking play that we're so accustomed to.
Obviously, looking at Friday's game, obviously you've taken another one of your former sides in Derby County. They're a bit of a weird season for them, because it hasn't started the greatest under Philip Cocu, but obviously Wayne Rooney came in the January transfer window, and they've sort of turned corner-ish since then. But obviously everyone's pointing to their home record, and do you think that's something that Philip Cocu's sort of building the base of his side on?
Yeah, to be honest, it has been a disappointing season. You know, Derby's been challenging up towards the top six places for the last three or four seasons. At this stage of the season, this is when they usually do a lead and drop straight out. But this season has been frustrating. They didn't start well. I think the addition of Wayne Rooney has been huge, because they are trying to groom these youngsters into the team. They've got a very young side, and the likes of having a Wayne Rooney in that team, you can see the confidence and have to play with a player of his caliber. What that does for all the other players is just lifts their game. You know, half of them are probably in awe of him, just watching him train.
How good is he still, Paul? How good is he still now?
He can still, you watch him. He's class. He really is. You don't lose your touch, your vision. Perhaps he's lost a little bit of his pace, but he's playing in a deeper role where you can still see he sees a pass, and he's ever so dangerous, whether it be set pieces. But it's just that presence and that that voice on the pitch, and just having someone with that experience, people feed off that, and you can see how Derby have improved. But I still think they're you know, four or five players off being a challenging side, and I think their style of play is a little bit confusing as well at times, which I haven't really got to grips with.
Obviously, it's the first time Fulham have travelled to Pride Park ever since the first leg of that playoff semi-final. Obviously, what happened, obviously, in the second leg at Craven Cottage, but do you think that adds a bit of added needle to this fixture?
Yeah, definitely. There's certainly a little bit of spice. Whenever there's been a game of that caliber, it always tends to be brought up in the change rooms beforehand to give it that added spice. But, you know, Fulham are in a position now. They can't afford to lose games. They got Brentford on their heels. Teams are really fighting to get into that playoff spot. If they want to keep chasing Leeds, then they really need to win this game. They really do. And I think you'll get a huge performance out of them, especially after the disastrous performance on the weekend.
Obviously, with Friday night's game, meaning we'll play before everyone else, gives us an opportunity to go level on points with Leeds before they play against Reading. And do you think that's exactly what Fulham need to do? It's just now, because Fulham have always been better at piling the pressure on other teams instead of taking it on their own.
Well, I think if they do, which you'd like to think they will, that will put some huge pressure on Leeds. You know, they have dropped. I think they've got 9 points out of possible 30 of late. If they look at the table on Saturday and see that they're level points with Fulham, you can see them crumbling, because they have done it in the last few seasons. So I really think the players need to look at that and say, if we're really going to make a go of this second spot, then this is a great opportunity for them to do so.
Paul, just a final point. We've been reflecting in the first half hour, myself and Dom, on the week that was, and potentially how costly it might be. But I mean, you've been brilliantly optimistic about everything in the last few moments. How happy are you? How content are you with the position right now that Fulham are in?
I think it would have taken that at the beginning of the season. It's a tough league. I've been there. It's such a tough league. You know, there's teams that you don't expect to be up there that are picking up results. You got teams down the bottom like a Barnsley, who you think are out and dead and dry, and they put in a performance and have beaten Fulham 3-0. So it's so difficult. But I would have taken that at the beginning of the season. Absolutely. You know, if they do beat Derby, sitting in second spot joint with Leeds, it's not bad to look at.
Paul, great having you on. We appreciate your time as always.
Pleasure, anytime.
That's the former Fulham and Derby striker, Paul Pesky. Solid, really upbeat, which is brilliant.
Which haven't we seen on Twitter when it comes to Fulham fans over the last week or so. But no, it's great to see. I think you've got to do add a bit of perspective in it. You know, we're sitting third in the league. We're only 3 points off the automatic places. And, you know, we've still got, you know, pretty much a third of the season left to go.
It's just how much a week like that stings, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it takes. But I think one thing that we'll relish is all the massive games coming up. You know, yes, you could see it as tough. But I think if you look at the season Fulham went in 17-18, we picked up loads of points, taking off points to teams around us. We had a similar run of fixtures back then. And if we can, you know, get the win against Derby and go into all these games against the top six, top seven, then there's no reason why actually it'll make the season even better, because it means obviously they'll be dropping points as well.
And right behind Scott Parker, he was there, and a little bit confused about some of the criticism perhaps that he was getting.
Yeah, I think you've got to realise it is Scott Parker's first season in the job, but I do think
a lot of people are forgetting that, you know.
Yeah, and I think you've got to, but I think one thing you've also got to look at is his aim from the season would have been promotion. And I think that's what he is going to be judged on ultimately. I think if he got Fulham to the top six and they dropped out, I think he would probably keep his job, but the season would be deemed a failure in that sense. But yeah, I think people need to sort of get game perspective, probably me in some cases as well. But we are third in the league. We're only 3 points off the top two. It's not game over yet.
And playing next, of course, Friday night. We'll continue our look ahead to Derby away in just a moment's time, and we want to do your questions as well, listeners' questions, with Dom and his answers to those before 10 o'clock tonight. Still time to get some in if you want to. 0208 7020 558. This is Love Sport Radio. It's just gone half nine.
Love Sport.
Yeah, for the next 25 minutes or so, the Fulham Fan Show, George Riley alongside Dom Betts of Fulhamish, looking ahead to Derby County away. It was always going to be a big game, especially after the last week or so. Huge game in the Championship on Friday night. We can speak to Mark Edworthy, the former Derby County defender. Evening, Mark. Welcome to Love Sport.
Good evening, gents. How are you? Hope you're well.
Yeah, we're great, thank you. Lovely to have you on. Why do you think Derby's home record has been so good so far?
Well, I mean, it just goes to show, doesn't it? The Championship is unbelievable, really, because our home record, as you said, it's been fantastic. It really has. I think we're near the top of the table regarding home victories. And, of course, away from home, we've been so poor, only two wins all season. And you can't sustain a real promotion campaign unless you start winning on the road. And believe it or not, saying about that, we're only 9 points off the so-called chance of getting into the playoffs. So it'll be a fascinating game on Friday night. Fulham are in fantastic form, and that just goes to show how competitive the Championship is, because who expected that, the 3-0 defeat at home to Barnsley?
Yeah, I mean, the last week's been crazy. Obviously, we drew 1-1 with Mill, then lost that game against Barnsley, who are bottom of the table. I mentioned the stat earlier about how, you know, we've a quarter of the goals we conceded have been to the bottom two sides, so Fulham are, you know, crazy inconsistent when it comes to that as well. But what do you think there's been such a difference between the home and the away record? Is it the style of play that Philip Cocu's got the side playing, or is it simply of the fact they just feel so comfortable and they've made Pride Park a fortress?
Yeah, I think that they are very comfortable at home. I think they're very attacking at home. And I think sometimes when you play away from home, you've got to adjust, maybe change personnel and even the system at times. And we are very open away from home. And I think sometimes you've got to win ugly, and we fail to do that at times. We're good on the eye, good in possession, but unfortunately, we conceded so many goals away from home. I think it was about six times this season we've conceded 3 goals away from home. So it's been really frustrating. But we've still got 13 games to go. What's that, 39 points to play for? And I think, with your case with Fulham, you know, Scott's done a fantastic job, and he'll be wanting to catch, obviously, West Brom and Leeds and really go for that automatic promotion chance. And I think it's going to be a really tough game for us on Friday, because I expect it could be probably one of the toughest games of the season with Fulham coming to us.
Obviously, it's been an absolutely crazy season when it comes to off the pitch for Derby. You know, Cocu coming in, the situation with Richard Keogh, and then obviously Wayne Rooney coming in January. Do you think that's played a part? The off-pitch matches have just made it absolute chaos down at Pride Park?
Possibly. I mean, I suppose, you don't want to use that as an excuse. I think at any club, when you have a change of manager, obviously Frank went down to Chelsea, and he was never going to turn down the opportunity. He did a great job at Derby last season with the loan signings, Harry Wilson, obviously Tomori and Mason Mount, fantastic players have all gone and played into the Premier League. Cocu's come in, and we've got to treat it as a really successful season so far. The amount of youngsters we've come in from the academy have come in and done superbly well, and they've got really bright futures. So I think it has been quite a positive season, believe it or not, of all the off-field problems. I think, you know, you can't use that as an excuse. And I think Philip Cocu's handled that situation superbly well. And he feels we can still get into the playoffs. So it's all to play for. A really, really tough game against Fulham, as we said on Friday, but our home form has been so good.
What has been the impact of Wayne Rooney? Is it just his aura around the dressing room? Is it his actual impact on the pitch? What have you made of his impact at Derby County?
Well, I think when Wayne came, he's a winner, isn't he? He just loves playing football, and his record speaks for itself. You know, we know the time at Man United, all-time goal scorer, same with England as well. And he just wants to win football matches, loves to play. And what he's just done, I think he just raised the standards. And everybody around him, fair play to the lads playing in the team, it's not just been the Wayne Rooney show. He has inspired those lads to perform as well. And he plays with a smile on his face. You can see with his experience, leads by example. And I think a lot of the players are enjoying playing with him. And he has been a major part of why we have been, I think we only lost like sort of 2 in 12 games. So he's been a pinnacle part of the rise of Derby this season, for sure.
An interesting thing I found this season, obviously, Chris Martin's made his way sort of vaguely back into the side at stages. Has he been reborn, or is he just been a good option to bring on, especially up front?
Well, I think Chris, obviously, he's a goal scorer, isn't he? Once the score goes, but we've had Jack Marriott up there, we've had Waghorn as well, so we've got a number of players, and I think that's the thing with Philip Cocu as well. We have had a lot of personnel change, and he will change a winning team, and I think at times some people think it is too much personnel, but I don't see the players day in, day out, and he can only pick what's fit and available. But when Chris has gone in, as we know, he scores goals, he leads by example, he's like a talisman for Derby, and every time he wears a Derby shirt, you know, he wears it with pride, and he's still a threat in front of goal.
Yeah, when I watched Derby, obviously when they came to Craven Cottage, it sort of epitomises their away record. I think it was probably one of the best games we've played this season in the 3-0 victory. But obviously Derby didn't really help themselves. And, you know, so you're looking at Philip Cocu, obviously you've spoken about, you know, he's doing well with what he's been expected to do this season. What have the fans made of it? Was it, you know, they were getting annoyed slightly, you know, after the poor start to the season, and they're sort of finally understanding what he's doing?
Yeah, I think that's the case. I mean, when Frank came, you know, it was such a great thing, such a great coup for the club as well. And then, of course, you know, the chairman's done fantastic well to get Wayne Rooney here as well. So all of a sudden now we've got the experienced Wayne Rooney. He's a winner. We've got the youngsters coming through. So I think the fans, you know, they're very passionate, and it's a big club and everybody wants to go to the promised land in the Premier League. But I think expectations, they've got to realise in maybe two or three seasons' time with these crop of youngsters coming through, we've got some fantastic talent on show. And they're going to mature, and Derby will be a quality outfit, maybe to maintain, you know, a real challenge for promotion. But as we said, this championship can throw up anything. We talked about the Barnsley game, which I mean, I didn't see that coming. I bet you guys didn't see that coming against Barnsley at the weekend for Fulham. Why there's still mathematically possible to go up and get those points? You know, the games we have like three in a week sometimes. Who knows? I think the chairman, without stating it, still thinks we've got a chance of getting in the playoffs, and that's what you've got to hope for and keep believing.
So do you think that should be the aim for Derby this season, is to do as much as they can to push into that top six?
Yeah, I think when you're chasing, you've always got a chance, haven't you? But when you stop relying on other teams to get you out of trouble or rely on results, and then I think it's a bridge too far. So while there's 13 games to go, there's lots of twists and turns that's going to come. I think we've got to keep maintaining our home record and winning at home, but we must get some on the road if we're going to really push for those top six places.
With Martin Waghorn obviously being the top goal scorer at Derby at the moment, I think, would you say he's the main threat Fulham should be looking at this weekend, or is there other areas where they can really cause Fulham problems? Obviously, there's been Dwayne Holmes, obviously, who's come to the fruition over the last few months as well.
Yeah, there's a number of players. I mean, we even mentioned him. Tom Lawrence is in fantastic form, scored a wonderful goal against Huddersfield the weekend. It's probably worthy of winning any game, really. But unfortunately, that was a draw, and then he scored and set up the goals at Swansea when we won 3-2, one of our rare away wins. But yeah, he's a real threat. We've got some real youngsters, as we said in there, Max Bird, and obviously not counts that Rooney anywhere around the edge of the box. He's still a free kick specialist. So I think there's a number of players in there who potentially could cause a threat. But the likes of your side with Kearney, you know, wonderful player he is, and Mitrovic, who's, 21 goals this season. You know, you've got some quality players in the side. And I think, you know, what you've always been difficult to play against. And I think Derby have been on the other end of that a few too many times. So it's all set up for a mouth-watering time Friday, for sure.
How do you think Derby will deal with the threat of Mitrovic? Are they a set of defence who obviously will deal with target men quite well, or are they someone who sort of deals with defending with players who are running behind a bit better?
Well, I think, yeah, we've got a really attacking fullbacks as well in Max Lowe and Jaden Boga. But Andre Wisdom, with his experience, he's been playing in central defence with Matt Clark or even Curtis Davis. So, again, there's a number of players who will have to be on their toes and deal with Mitrovic, because he's such a talent. But then you've got, obviously, Kearney to worry about in midfield, who basically orchestrates things for Fulham. Such a good player, and you know, he can really unlock any defence. So it's set up nicely for a really good game. I'm really looking forward to it.
And if we're looking at the game, obviously it's the first time Fulham have travelled to Pride Park since, obviously, the playoff semi-final first leg. Do you think that will... we obviously spoke about Paul Pessi-Solido earlier, and he was talking about, you know, you think it will add a bit of needle to the game. Do you agree with that?
I think so, yes. I think that all the games, they're always good games. There's always goals in the games, and there is an edge between the sides, obviously, playing in the playoffs together and against each other. So I think Derby have probably got a point to prove as well, and obviously Fulham want to maintain that surge at the table, because I think they're, you know, they're hoping. I think Scott's done a fantastic job, and I think they're hoping to pit West Brom or Leeds to those automatic places.
What's your prediction for the game Friday?
I'm going to go 2-1 Derby. So if you don't hear from me again, guys,
we'll ring you regardless. Don't worry.
Yeah, ring me regardless. Either gloat or you can say something else. But no, let's just hope it's a great game. Friday night football. Two teams who are very attacking. Goes from all over the pitch, so it's set up nicely for another championship. Really good game. It really is.
Let's hope you're right. Good speech to you as always, Mark. Cheers.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Mark Edward, the former Derby defender, expecting a good game and a Derby victory. What are your thoughts?
I think going into this game, I'm going to expect Fulham to head out the trap door really quickly. I mean, that's what we definitely didn't do against Barnsley. So I think they've got a massive point to prove against Derby this weekend. And I think, if anything, they're going to want to send a message out with a performance this weekend on a Friday night, because everyone knows how bad the result was on Saturday. You know, the team in third, looking for more back promotion, losing to the team right at the bottom of the table. So, yeah, I don't know if I'm expecting changes from Scott Parker, because I don't know who'd he bring in which would completely change it up. I think one thing I'd look at is, you know, I'd like to see Dennis Adoy come back into the side. I think, you know, he may not be the most flash defender, the best defender, but I think he's just so consistent at the back. And I think with Joe Bryan, sometimes I think he can be caught out defensively. Whether he comes in at left back, whether he comes in at right back, you know, I didn't think Steven Sessegnon had the greatest game either. I think him coming back into the side will be key, because I just think he offers so much more stability in that back line. Looking at the holding midfield and centre midfield area, obviously we've been playing Onuma, Kearney, and McDonald recently. I think stick with that. I think, you know, I think people are too eager to make changes sometimes, and sometimes that's a problem, because, you know, especially when a midfield three, you know, there seemed we had such a consistent midfield of, you know, Ken McDonald, Stephen Johansson, and Tom Kearney, and then Oliver Nord coming in when he could. So I think, yeah, I think stick with that midfield three. Then the front three, I would go with Bobby Reid, Mitrovic, and probably Ivan Cavallero for now. But yeah, I think I'm looking forward to this game mainly because I think the team are going to want to prove a point, and I think that's going to be interesting to see how sort of fast they go out the blocks, because it's not necessarily been our style. Obviously, we got the goal very early on against Millwall, and then we sort of capitulated after that. So interesting if we can do something different.
Is there more pressure on this game because of what happened last week? I mean, Derby away, you were looking at thinking, blimey, that's going to be a biggie. Well, but yeah, because if you'd have taken 6 points from the last six, then you're thinking, right, let's see what happens. Whereas now, it's, right, we need to get something from
this. It's a must-win game because, you know, let's say we lose it, for example, and then Leeds win. They're 6 points clear. Yeah. We draw, they're four. Yeah. I think, you know, what we need to, if we are to drop points, then we're relying on Leeds to drop points, because I think as long as we're within 3 points of them, then, and when you still play the side, then I think that's great. But yeah, I think for us, it's a must-win game. Yes, to stay in the race for top two, but just to banish the demons of last week.
It's the Fulham Fan Show with George Riley and Dom Betts on Love Sport Radio. Between 10 and 11 tonight, it's myself and Charlie Hawkins for the post-match show, looking back at Manchester City's victory in the Premier League. They've beaten West Ham by 2-0. And a check on Tottenham as well. Closing moments at Tottenham, it's still 1-0 to Leipzig. A Werner penalty just prior to the hour. Their first Champions League knockout stage goal, away goal for Leipzig, who lead at Spurs 1-0. A few minutes to go in that one. We've got your listeners' questions coming up shortly on Love Sport Radio at 9:45.
Love Sport.
At 12 minutes to 10, George Riley on the Football Fan Show tonight alongside Dom Betts. And the final segment of the show, of course, is the listeners' questions. So let's get through them. Still time. If you want to whack us over a message on WhatsApp, you can do so. 0208 7020 558. We'll do our best to get those read out and answered between now, well, in about 10 minutes' time. So you better get going. Right, first of all, Dom, Dan Williams, do you feel Fulham's lacklustre home support is the main reason for such poor results?
I don't think so. I think, if anything, although we've been missing a stand this season while we redeveloped the Riverside stand, I think packing the two sets of fans, into three stands has, if anything, improved the atmosphere as such, because it's sort of not spread out on, you know, the stand they're redeveloping anyway. It's the hospitality side of things anyway, so it wasn't exactly a raucous atmosphere coming from there anyway. I think what it's got to do with is that I think teams set up to play against us and we don't necessarily set up to counteract them at times. We rely on ourselves getting that first goal, and if we don't go into half-time, you know, 1-0 up, 2-0 up, 2-1 up, I feel like we find it hard to sort of get into the game, and I think that's been our problem. I think we do have a clinical edge, because, you know, we usually, when we create a big chance, we tend to score it. I think we're not creating enough, and I think that's been our biggest problem. I think in midfield is where I've been sort of pinpointing it, because I don't think there's enough creativity in there, and I think that we are sometimes too passive at home, whereas from away from home, we're more than happy to let the home side have a bit more of the ball than we usually would at home. And I think we're sometimes, in essence, you know, more suited to play in that way, because when you've got the likes of Cavallero and Bobby Reid out wide, they're good players who can play on the counter-attack. So I think we just haven't sort of worked out the best style of play to just not wipe teams out at home, but just get the results sometimes. I think you look at the Derby game, and you look at the Millwall game, and that's probably the only two times we've been convincing at home.
And it's not unique to Fulham. Lacklustre home support, it's kind of works both ways with the fans and the teams. The fans getting the lift in the team and the team giving a reason to the fans to be lifted in the first place. Andy Robbins asks, why does Josh Onuma split opinion so much? In my opinion, says Andy, there are several better players than him.
I think a lot of people think he's like Scott Parker's pet because obviously he's come into the side. He came as part of the Ryan Sessegnon deal, worked with Scott Parker in the Tottenham youth setup when he was there. I don't think he's undroppable. I think he's deservedly in the side, to be honest. I think that, you know, the midfield three, you've got to look at as a three instead of these are our three best central midfielders.
Right.
Therefore, these should be playing. I think in the system we're playing, you need that. In the way we play, when you have Ken McDonald sitting, it allows the fullbacks to bomb on a bit. You've got Kenny playing a more attacking role. You need that sort of, to put it nicely, industrious midfielder in the centre of the park who's going to go box to box and do the dirty work. Yes, he's not necessarily going to, you know, be getting loads of goals and creating loads of chances, but I think sometimes you just need that player in the centre of the park who's going to be, you know, industrious, as I said. And I think in Millwall game is probably one of our better players, and I think he's really growing into the side. I'm looking at other midfield options to play there. You've got Harry Arter, who I thought was terrible against Millwall. You've got Stephen Johansson, I don't think he's been that good this season. You know, I think he's great to bring on when you want to kill a game towards the end. You know, he's, as Pep Guardiola would probably love, because he's good, very good at professional tactical foul, as Pep Guardiola would call him. And then you look at Harrison Reed, who I think is better in deep, and I think he should come back for Ken McDonald when he's fit. So I think he's in the side on merit, and I think that, you know, Harry Arter I've not been impressed with really all season. Stephen Johansson, I think, is a better off the bench option than Josh Onuma. I think sometimes you've got to look at players, and you've got to look at, you still need impact players to bring off the bench. And if they're, for me, sort of on level standing, I'd rather have the impact player on the bench just so they're there to bring on.
James Brody asks, do you think Parker takes too much criticism? We just discussed this a bit earlier, didn't we, with Paul Pesky Solida. I've seen on social media, after every defeat, James says that he should get sacked. He's got no experience. If players don't turn up and be counted, as K-Mac suggests, then even the best tactics in the world aren't going to work.
Yeah, but I think he's an easy target. You know, it's his first season in a proper job. You know, we're not playing the same style of football we did on the Slavisa Jokanovic. I think there are times when he deserves criticism, but there's also times when you've got to look at our players. You know, if our fullbacks, especially someone like Joe Bryan, is incompetent at defending, then that's not Scott Parker's fault. Yes, you can tell him not to go back, but there's times when we win a game where he just doubles up on the fullback errors because he's not too confident in them. I don't think necessarily his tactics. I think it's different tactics to what we've been used to in the Championship under Slavisa Jokanovic. I think that's the difference. I think, yes, Scott Parker is due some criticism, but, you know, it seems like some players are exempt. You know, Joe Bryan, from some fans, seems exempt from criticism. I think, if anything, in recent weeks, you can argue Tom Kearney deserves more criticism than Scott Parker. So, no, I think he does take too much criticism, but I don't think he's immune from it.
We've got a question, actually, two more. We've got a question from on Kearney, watch, I'll ask you in a second. We're running out of time. I've just got a couple more to throw in. Daniel Reed, all over in brackets, says, we've only scored two goals from one-on-ones this season, I think. I'm sure you'll, Dom, correct him if he's wrong. Cav versus Millwall, AK versus QPR. Surely this means we aren't running in behind anywhere near enough and are way too predictable to defend against.
I think the biggest issue is you've obviously got someone like Mitrovic up front, who's someone who doesn't really get in one-on-one positions, if that makes sense. He's there for a tussle and then we'll play the players out wide. He may play it back to him. I think it shows the we've not over-reliant on individual quality, but, you know, the amount of long-range goals we have scored this season, from the likes of Kearney, Knockhart, Caviero. So I think that we're just playing in a way that we don't actually create too many one-on-one opportunities. That's probably why we haven't scored from too many.
So that's a style of play issue.
Yeah, to create more one-on-ones, you'd have to be playing in a totally different way. I think you'd need a player who's up front, number nine. Let's say our number nine was a Boubacar Kamara, let's say. I think you'd have a lot more one-on-one opportunities.
Another one from, last one we've got, I think. We've got, Fighter, running out of time. Better get on with it. Michael B, FFC, does care. Well, you mentioned Kearney already, so it's a good one to end on. Does Kearney, he has need to be dropped for the good of the side? Is he done? Should he make way?
I don't know if he should be dropped. I think the word I'd use is rested, because I don't think he looks fit.
Right.
And I think he might, playing these games week, you know, Tuesday, Saturday, Wednesday, Friday, whatever, I feel like he just needs a game off so he doesn't need to play. I think you can slot Bobby Reed into maybe the attacking midfield position, then you've got the likes of either Cabano and Knockhart to play out wide, or Boubacar Kamara. You could play a more deep midfield. You could bring in the likes of Arter and Johansson and sort of play Onuma as the further midfield player. I think I wouldn't say drop. It's dropping Kenny. I'd say I just think he needs more recovery time.
You got a couple of minutes left for any other business, if you've got any other business.
I think I said earlier, actually, the Atalanta-Valencia game would be the better game in the Champions League tonight, and I think that finished 4-1. So, and, you know, I think it was interesting. It wasn't that obvious that Tottenham-Leipzig would finish 1-0, because inning one team had no defence and one team had no attack.
Yeah. So your thoughts then, finally, on the Friday night game? Let's finish on that one. We've touched on how big it is because of, well, it was big anyway, but because of last week.
What
are your honest thoughts about it? Are you jittery?
I'm fairly nervous just because of how good the home record is. I think they're joint second with Preston for the home record. But I think the motivation to banish the demons of last weekend will be big for Fulham. So I think this is a must-win for us, and I think we will do it. I think it won't be an easy game, but I can see us edging it maybe 2-0 or 2-1.
And are you contemplating personnel changes, or do you just look at last week and think, blimey, well, that was a bad one. Let's just keep going, because what we were doing has got us into this position to challenge for promotion in the first place. So if you look at that and then start changing it all, it could quite quickly unravel.
Yeah, I don't think mass changes. I think maybe one or two, you know, bringing the likes of Dennis Adoy in for, obviously, either Joe Bryan or Stephen Sessegnon, you know, and then maybe you do drop Kenny in midfield, and then you bring in the likes of Johansson Arata just to rough out that Derby midfield away from home. But then do you need someone like Kenny to unlock the defence? I really don't know. But I don't think too many. Maybe one or two, but I'm not expecting like mass changes after that defeat.
And how do you think Scott Parker will be feeling this week?
I think he'll be angry, but I think he'll be
still.
I think he'll be quite annoyed. There wasn't a midweek game, as I said, so he could bounce back straight away. But I think he'll be positive going to this game, knowing what his team can do, and if they do pull off a convincing result that I think everyone will sort of forget last weekend.
Tom, it's been great having you in. Thank you.
No worries.
As ever, the Fulham Fan Show, Tom Betts with us, and George Riley as well, bringing us up to towards 10 o'clock tonight. A reminder of the scores, it's just gone full-time, actually. The whistle has just gone in the Tottenham game that Dom mentioned, and the full-time score is Tottenham 0, Leipzig 1. Leipzig, by the sounds of it, fully deserving of their win. They were dominant in the first half. Spurs got a little bit better, but Leipzig take the win. So Spurs 0, Leipzig 1, and Manchester City winning over West Ham in the Premier League. This is Love Sport Radio, coming up to 10 o'clock.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.